Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. And as you may be aware, the focus of the show is to bring people to my listening audience, individuals who are truly making a difference in our world. And we certainly need that difference now. And I'm absolutely honored and delighted to have my friend Sandy Hart join us today. Sandy is an extraordinary woman who has worked around the world to help to bring the voices of women to the foreground, as is so necessary now. And so she's working with many leaders in many fields. And I'm going to let Sandy give an explanation of what she does and the importance of how we need to change from a consciousness of strictly patriarchy to matriarchy and to blend the two. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And thank you for that introduction.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for being who you are. So, Sandy, tell us about the work that you do. And then later we'll talk about Sarah and then the Congress of Women.
Well, largely that is the work that I do.
Okay.
Sarah was birthed out of an impulse following, well, the morning of 9/11.
And what does Sarah stand for so people know, please?
Sarah stands for the Spiritual and Religious Alliance for Hope. Mm-hmm. Although she was named after Sarah as in the biblical figure, the mother of all nations.
Mm. Yes.
And gave her the acronym later. But it wasn't until about 4 or 5 years later when we incorporated that the IRS put the word the in front of our acronym as part of our title, the Spiritual and Religious Alliance for Hope, which really frames what it is that we do. We intend on bringing hope through the lens of women of our community. To be a Sarah sister, all you need to do is say, I am a woman in my community dedicated to creating a more safe and harmonious environment with my daily actions. So it's really all about self-awareness and personal agency, really, mm-hmm. when you get down to the root of it, which yeah. is the same answer to how are we going to midwife out, hospice out, usher out patriarchy and a culture of domination over partnership, while partnership mm-hmm. is trying to emerge even more gracefully.
Mm-hmm. I love that you use that analogy of hospice because
yeah.
palliative care is pain and symptom management. That's what palliative care means. And, you know, we have to learn to manage, but not control what people are thinking so that they can grow into changing and really learning how to think.
Yeah, exactly. And one of our programs, the Death Throes of Patriarchy, was inspired by a paragraph that came out of the book, What Happens When Women Wake Up. And it was a statement by Kathy Shaw. And Kathy said, I need to keep telling myself that these are the death throes of patriarchy, the thrashing tail of the dying dinosaur, thrashing violently about in resistance to what is already here. So how do we ease the suffering as that dying dinosaur is resisting the reality that its time has come? And what is it that we have to do to recognize within ourselves our patterns, our behaviors, our habits that are contributing to patriarchy? And we do that at Sarah by having a lot of fun dynamic programming.
Yeah. And I think that thank you for sharing that, because what I think is so beautiful is we're really waking up to the awareness that the maternal instinct is very powerful. And it is about gathering. It is about inclusion. It is about making sure that everyone receives what they need, that there is true accountability without punishment. Although if necessary, punishment will happen, but it is not brutality. There's a big difference. there's accountability that is necessary for people to grow and learn. And certainly we see that in our quote-unquote leadership right now that isn't leading at all.
Right.
And that's important that we recognize that.
Yeah. And, you know, where's the moral outrage? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we're tapping into, that moral outrage. You know, being raised Jewish, my mother had, you know, when she said genug, and genug is a Yiddish word for enough. And it's more than just enough. It's more than just go to your room. It is, mm-hmm. I mean, business. And that's what our Mother Earth is saying to us right now. Genug, enough, stop. And if you don't, there's big trouble on the horizon. This is not news, I'm sure, to all your listeners. It's what is underneath what is inspiring us and motivating us and keeping us buoyed in this work.
Well, what I think is so important, Sandy, for people to, and again, my guest is Sandy Hart, and she is the founder of Sarah, which is a beautiful organization. And the website is sarahforhope.org.
That's right.
So please take a look at that and learn about the wonderful programs that she has globally. But what we need to understand is we have to, in my opinion, we have to be willing to fight in a different way. We need to learn how to fight ignorance. And when we learn to fight ignorance, we understand the difference between being forced to be ignorant, which is one definition, simply not knowing. And then the other definition is the willful choosing to ignore. So we have to really address the willfulness of ignoring the obvious so that we don't go to battle, but we stand firm in leadership.
Right. And those are feminine leaders. Those are feminine qualities.
Exactly.
Right. Where curiosity replaces fear.
Yes.
Awe and wonder replaces judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are subtle little shifts, but what it does to us physiologically, which you speak so brilliantly about, mm-hmm. and which is really an important reminder for me, and I'm sure all who hear it from you, is that it just brings us back down to personal responsibility and self, and you can't have personal responsibility and self-advocacy without that self-awareness.
Right.
You know, really what you're made of, really what your power is and what your access is. And a lot, too many people, including myself, don't know what to do next, don't know that I have the power, or forget, or it's just easy to wait for someone else to do it. But we're no longer waiting for somebody else, are we? There's no Messiah on the horizon for us.
Well, we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Yeah, I heard this great quote. I can't begin to guess who said it. The circle is the new guru.
Well, it's interesting because the circle is an ancient symbol.
Yeah.
And it is... You can look at hieroglyphs all over the world, and the circle was always emblematic of everything, and that everything is connected, because you cannot be on a sphere and not be connected to every other sphere, every other part of that sphere. And so we don't recognize that symbolism is even the, through geometry, is how the yin and yang is created. Because the yin and yang is the perfect balance within that sphere, because we are one species as human beings. We aren't separate entities. We're one species. And it requires male and female.
I'm sorry?
And it requires male and female.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And our interdependence is so important to recognize.
Yeah.
Not just our interrelated nature, like you mentioned, but our interdependence. This is what our General Congress of Women is about. It's about recognizing the interrelated nature and the interdependent realities of all of our world's problems. And we looked at the UN Beijing Platform for Change, when looking at, well, how can we identify those areas of measurable areas of change? And, you know, the United Nations, of course, has the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. We looked at the Beijing 12 critical areas of concern because they are directly impacting women and girls. So it's these 12 issues. And we realize that you're never going to heal the environment unless you're also looking at healthcare, unless you're also considering restorative justice and, you know, the media, and you just bring in all. So what would happen if you look at every single problem intentionally through the lens of the other? What would it look like if all those representatives came to one table, addressed one issue, and each mentioned, if not designed, an effort that was considerate of all the other 11 issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you said about a wheel again, and the ancient 10,000-year-old medicine wheels, which are very important bodies of knowledge, extremely and very, very misunderstood by most people. They're brilliant. It's from which all sciences were born, from our own understanding of ourselves. And when we look at what creation does, what nature does, what life does, if we learn to follow that lead, there is always balance. And there isn't any need to fight balance. You correct it to help it move in the best way possible, but to fight means to someone must lose. So we have to change that rhetoric. I think so importantly. So absolutely. Tell us, how are women coming together, and how are you working with other women around the world, global leaders, truly global leaders, mm-hmm. of which you are one? And how do we, tell us what people can do?
Well, I think the General Congress of Women is of all of our programming, because all of our program engages women leaders, thought leaders from all over the world. But the General Congress of Women is the more systematic and dynamic way for everyone to get involved. I do want to say, though, regarding your comment about caring for one another, basically, how are we... with grace and elegance, perhaps even in that, perhaps inspired by that moral outrage, or that not even a moral outrage, but a maternal instinct to care, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. to, you know, do what you have to do to shape and direct ourselves and one another in the right direction. There's some basic elements of the General Congress of Women. One is care and caregiving, and it's an agreement of care and caregiving. It's an actual document. It's one pager. It's pretty simple. It's what are you going to do before you come into circle with one another? How are you going to agree to treat one another when you come into circle with one another? And that might sound like sort of a no-brainer, because us peacemakers, we're all very kind and thoughtful of one another, until there becomes a little rub, until someone gets triggered, and so someone's feelings get hurt. We're the human being. We get our feelings hurt. And mm-hmm. I have been in so many different peace organizations that energy just comes to a screeching halt. That wheel cannot continue to move because creativity is blocked, because we get shut down, hung up on our personal stuff. Someone leaves, someone, you know, there might be some underlying tension that everybody can really feel, but ultimately it's not good for the whole. So what's going to happen in that event? This is probably, I think, one of the most important things that we could do right now when you're talking about the work we're doing out in the world with all these incredible women leaders and a few really great men leaders too, who are working on improving conditions and advancing solutions for women and girls. It all comes back down to that personal responsibility and knowing thyself and caring for one another. It's all about the relationship. It's mm-hmm. all about relationship. Mm-hmm. And so what do we agree to before we get there? what do we agree when we're still in the honeymoon stage, if you will, or when we can't even imagine this become, and some people are insulted by it, actually. It's like, well, I don't need to sign that. Guess what? We all do. Mm-hmm. And that is probably that's where we start with this work that we're doing in the world. So we amplify the voices of women. We provide a network. We provide opportunities for education through our webinar series. We provide a place for women's voices and their wisdom to be heard and shared in the world in a really digestible but also affordable and easy way. It's not that difficult. And we do that. The General Conference of Women is probably the most impactful way that we can do that in a real systematic way. But all of our programs provide that opportunity.
Well, I really thank you for creating this platform. And as you mentioned earlier, that it was initiated after 9/11. And it was... I heard something on NPR the other day about a 99-year-old woman who was being interviewed who happened to be at 9/11, happened to be in the city when it happened, but she had also been an Auschwitz survivor. So she gathered all of those people that were just in absolute shock and said, good things will be coming when we begin to change. So rather than being hysterical, it's that wisdom of an elder, of a maternal elder, who that just struck me, brought me to tears. I almost had to pull over because I was driving at the time. But it was just, you know, we have to understand that when we begin to look at what we call a belief, and since this is an organization that deals with religion, which are principally patriarchal, most religions are based on patriarchy. And I think we have to learn our language, which we had a wonderful discussion the other day about language, is a belief stops thinking. Yeah. Because you begin to take a vow to stand for a belief, whether it's good or bad. And what we need to learn is how to have faith. Faith in our own goodness, faith in being able to come up with brilliant ideas that have not been thought before, so that we can look at the reality of the challenges we have created, so that we can then use that same intellect and learn how to navigate our emotions so we can actually use our mind. And when we do that, then we will understand the powerful self that we are. In fact, I'm going to be talking about that later on today on a webinar. The powerful self that we are, we don't realize we are a self, that we are meant to be self-leaders. We are meant to be self-responsible. And to be responsible means to have an ability to respond, not to have a duty. So there's, again, that dual misinformation, you know. There's a lot to think about, but we have to re-educate ourselves and be willing to be re-educated.
Yeah, that's part of the staying curious, staying in awe and wonder, questioning assumptions that are habits to believe. Language is so very important if we are going to change and turn this, if we are going to accelerate the shift that's on its way with as least as many casualties as possible and resistance as well. In her book, Nurturing Our Humanity, Dr. Rhianne Eisler talks about the four cornerstones. And one of those cornerstones is our language, because our language drives our culture. How we even perceive things as they are. So what happens when we start changing the habit of how we see things? We start changing those neural pathways in our mind. We create a new habit, but language, because it's such a driving force of our community, of our society, of out in the real world for us, when we go driving down the street or walking to a market or engaging with anyone, we're part of the communal neural pathway.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
And so tell us about some of the individuals that are working with you and how across the globe your people are wanting to participate and what's going on.
The amazing guests that we bring onto our show end up being our partners, those that we support, that we have a relationship with. We work with Clay Boykin, who I believe has been on your show, or maybe you've been on his, of Circles of Men. And Clay's work through Gender Equity International, Gender Equity and Reconciliation International, is profound, and he's doing incredible work. Dr. Karambu Ringara is an amazing activist, thought leader, wisdom keeper. Her work with bringing in children and orphans in Kenya is significant. Her inspiration globally is even more so. We embrace the work of Jean Shinoda Bolen, because she is the mother of all circle facilitation, and her vision of a millionth circle is significant. Mm-hmm. And she's a wonderful friend of Sarah's. We partner with large and small organizations. We are a member of the United Religions Initiative. So there's our link back to our interfaith roots. Because Sarah was, intentionally and originally, and still is largely, women of faith traditions coming together to better understand the root of who we are. Mm-hmm. And so, again, that's the root of all of our programming at Sarah. And yet, while we're working with all these significant, well-known thought leaders like yourself, we also recognize the wisdom and the untapped brilliance and the untapped important information that women everywhere have. Yes. Women that don't necessarily have an audience or have sold a book or are actually leading great big initiatives, mm-hmm. or even smaller ones. There are women who are sitting at home knowing they're just teeming with wisdom, I'd say pregnant with world-changing ideas. So we want to provide that platform for them to come to and share their wisdom. Mm-hmm. So we always have all voices heard on every one of our calls. We always have an after party for even more voices to be heard after the calls. We have a wisdom series where you can bring what you want to teach to our series, to our network. So we have a lot of ways of amplifying the voices of not just those, like you said, thought leaders, but the wisdom of all women.
So tell us, Sandy, about the event that's taking place on December 21st and how people might be able to register and be a part of that.
Well, all registration for anything happens on our website at sarahforhope.org, and Sarah spelled with an H, S-A-R-A-H, for the number 4, hope.org. The General Congress of Women has been hosting, we launched our initiative on September 21st, and every month we have been hosting calls that we address each one of those elements, those foundational elements we've been talking about, from care and caregiving, which we're talking about on December 21st, to and last month it was on our sacred economy, and mm-hmm. before that it was on open space technology, sacred action. These are three of our more prominent elements that are really important to have if we're to make change when we come together in our congresses. Then starting in January, our regular series through every month on the 21st will host two different thought leaders. In that platform, like I described, we'll hear from their wisdom, but then we'll hear from everyone else's, with breakout sessions and plenty of room, ample room for dialogue among everybody with our thought leaders. And that rundown on our, or I should say that lineup of who is going to be on our call is ever growing, and it's on our list. And we're working with some really amazing women who are great to come and be our speakers.
Well, I'm so touched that, especially right now with what's happening with this global pandemic, is we're looking at caring and caregivers. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Which is kind of encompasses everything about what you're speaking about, Sandy. Because when we understand care, we understand and caregiving, because it is not an easy task to be, especially a caregiver when someone is physically challenged, dying, any number of things. But we just have to look at, when we start with caregiving, we begin to understand the significance, the importance of our own life. And when we care for another person with dignity, we are living with dignity, and therefore we're caring for ourselves. So, Sandy, it's always amazing to me. We only have a minute left. How has that happened already? It doesn't seem right. but anyways, where do you see the change happening right now?
With women. With women.
Yeah.
With women. Women have the power. We have the vote. We have the dollars. We make up 87% of all buying decisions in the home. We know that money drives change, unfortunately. We have the power. We birth the next generation. We raise, generally speaking. Sorry to all you stay-at-home dads and all of you who are stepping into those roles. But generally speaking, and across the board, women have the power. Women have to stand up. We have to accept our power.
Yes, and we have to be willing to do so with men. Because I'm imagining, you know, I know that in some of the gentlemen I've spoken to, that the heartache that they actually have when they feel compelled to be a way that they don't believe in, to be, you know, like the tough guy, be the one who's supposed to have all the answers, to be the one that is everything to everybody. And sometimes, you know, that burden is very challenging for people because there's no equity. And how do we see one another as partners in life, truly?
Yeah. Partnership over domination is critical.
Yeah. 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 So again, my guest has been Sandy Hart. Thank you so much, Sandy, for all that you do. Please go to www.sarah4hope.org. Take a look at what's happening, be a part of what's happening, and be a part of the solution. Because this gift that we have is the most amazing thing in the world, and this gift is called life.